in order to bring everyone along on this really crucial journey. I think it really is about bringing it back, taking it down to square one.
Instead of everything seeming overwhelming and huge, that actually it all becomes something that is perfectly achievable.
How do you present and make these things local and relatable?
This is Leadership for Sustainability, the podcast for sustainability directors, managers, and pioneers who want their organization to make greater progress on sustainability. It's so good to have you with us. I'm Osbert Lancaster. I'm a longtime sustainability consultant, facilitator, and director of Sustainability Leadership Specialists, Realize Earth, where we focus on the people side of sustainability. It's great news that net zero is becoming more and more widespread as a concept, and that climate change is on the agenda of more and more organizations. But climate is only one of the planetary boundaries we need to work on, and we also need to tackle a whole range of social issues. That's why item 4 in our Sustainability Leadership Manifesto is develop and deliver initiatives that offer multiple benefits for people and nature. At our recent roundtable, we discussed how do you help your organization to get beyond net zero, to see the bigger picture, and start engaging with the rest of the Sustainable Development Goals. Morag Watson, my co-founder here at Realize Earth, hosted the roundtable with me, and we were joined by some great guests for an hour of discussion. Most of the discussion happened privately in small groups, but in this episode, we share the highlights from the plenary sessions. I'll let our guests introduce themselves and take it from there.
So I'm Mina Cole. I'm an environmental manager and I work for ReGen Group.
Hello, my name's Graham Farrer. I'm head of sustainability for King's Rose Mining.
My name is Florence Sarflow. I'm a lead product designer. Also work with regenerative business design for the Sea Collective.
Hi, yeah, my name's Annie, short for Anne-Marie. I am the sustainable life coach.
I'm Anna. I'm an outdoor facilitator, mindfulness for my business, Wonder Women.
My name's Gavin Allen. I'm the Group Sustainability Operations Lead for Robertson Group.
I'm Malcolm Curry. I'm an independent consultant specializing in dispute resolution.
My name's Kemi Odafari. I'm a senior finance business partner at UCL Partners, which is focused on health innovation.
My name is Alejandra. I'm an environmental engineer and waste management consultant at a company based in Malta.
Ellis McKinnon, Environmental and Sustainability Manager, currently freelance.
Wonderful. Thank you very much and welcome everyone. It's delightful to have you all with us here. And in a moment, we are going to put you into some discussion groups. But to prep us for going into that, what I'm going to invite you to do is to think about a time that you've helped your colleagues or your organization to commit to taking an action on sustainability and an action that went beyond just being a single issue like climate change or recycling to a much more holistic view. So think about that time you did that. Once you've chosen it, what was the situation? Who was involved? How did the process start? What happened next? What was the result? I'm going to give you a moment's silence just to have a think about. Once you've got that in your head, the bit I would like you to focus in is why did that approach succeed? Okay, so hold on to those thoughts and feelings. You will go into breakout groups, and it's your opportunity to discuss exactly what we've just been talking about, how you went beyond that single issue to a more holistic, what worked, what did you learn, what helped you succeed, and an opportunity to share with peers.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you've had some interesting discussions, insights, and ideas and inspirations from it. I would like to invite the reporter from each group to share your top insight. So, room one, which was Flo, Gavin, and Kami.
One of the things that we spoke about was regulation and incentive in terms of getting organizations on board. We certainly find that with bigger organizations, they tend not to listen unless there's a sort of financial benefit to their bottom line. So whilst it's necessary and correct to focus on the sustainability improvements, what maybe gets their heads to turn is actually to say that there is financial benefit to this, which does sort of bring its own sort of moral implications in that the organization should be doing this anyway. But if you need to get that foot in the door, sometimes that is the option to focus on.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Room two is Annie, Ellis, and Mina. Annie.
We understand that getting people motivated through their own personal values helps to create a good mindset, which we've all experienced in different ways, pluses and minuses. However, to get beyond net zero, it's almost about taking that mindset and making it a no-brainer. So it isn't something that you actually consciously think of. It's something that you do without even thinking about it. And that's where we need to get to in terms of making it easy for everyone to know what to do, how to do it, the best way to do it, the same way as you would do for health and safety, or if you're driven by cost reduction, cost return on investment, that this is something that is second nature.
Thank you so much. And room three, Anna, Graham and Malcolm.
I guess in my role, one of the key focuses has been on a double materiality survey. So working through and trying to get the business aligned, investors aligned and external stakeholders aligned with what we think we should be focusing on, because that allows you to integrate that concept into the business, including who you employ, what consultancy support you need, what funding you need. And that also leads into how you produce your sustainability report. And it's not just one person's idea. It's a formalized process under legislation in many places.
Double materiality, just remind us of the jargon.
So the first materiality is financial materiality, and the second materiality is impact to stakeholders.
Thank you so much. Okay, is there anything else that came out of those discussions that you would like to add?
I think one part that we were mentioning is about how do you present and make these things local and relatable? You have to start small. Every time you think about climate change, it feels like so big for some of these companies, especially when you're looking at SMEs or, you know, startups. So making that relatable, talking about the local, you're part of it. And then there is also another aspect that we see. It's about like almost a contagion effect, which is your neighbors, your other competitors are doing. And it was this whole thing of scope 3 is going to get to you. So even though you can't, somehow you need to find a way to do it, because otherwise you can't be in business. And then somehow you also seeing that your neighbors are transitioning, so you just feel compelled to do it as well. So there is a little bit of that following the trend behavior.
I think it's very easy for bigger organizations to be able to fund their way to the net zero, but there's really a bit of a gap for SMEs. I'm quite fortunate. We've got a sustainability supply chain coordinator that does quite a lot of work within our supply chain, especially SMEs, and how to calculate their carbon. You know, terminologies like scope 1, 2, and 3 is probably fine to all of us, but to an SME, they're probably saying, I don't know what that is. And actually, you break it down, you go, it's your fuel and your electricity. Yes. That's pretty much it. And then whoever you use as a supplier, it's theirs and theirs. It's that whole concept of everyone's scope 1 and 2, someone else's scope 3.
We touched on momentum, maintaining momentum, keeping things relevant and kind of not getting lost in the fog. Everything else, trying to keep it interesting for people. And my own experience with the championships.
That's the 2023 UCI Cycling World Championships.
It was kind of like a trip feed of communications, external and internal, to try and maintain it so that people don't switch off, so it becomes second nature to people to think about.
One reflection I've been having on, it's following on from what Graham was explaining about earlier on. One of the things I took from the conversation was about the narrowing down of the SDGs that he was looking at, narrowing down the scope of the discussion in order to make things into bite-sized chunks so it starts to become achievable. I thought there's a real parallel there between that and the question funnel that I regularly talk about in dispute resolution and mediation, whatever, where you're actually starting with a very wide concept and you funnel downwards and get more and more specific as you go through, which means you end up with something that is realistic and is achievable.
This kind of links a little bit to what Gavin was saying, really. People are expertise in this field, will kind of get used to terminology, but then in order to bring everyone along on this really crucial journey, I think it really is about bringing it back, taking it down to square one. Not everybody has the same kind of background or research that certainly people have done within this group. So I think language and layman terms and kind of bringing it down to bare basics is extremely important.
In our sustainability leadership manifesto, I argued that we need to get beyond the current focus on net zero. We need to develop and deliver initiatives that offer multiple benefits for people and nature. Initiatives that reduce carbon emissions, help us adapt to climate change, enable nature to recover and regenerate, enhance well-being, and increase the resilience of people, organisations, and society. But how do you actually do that? How do you bring colleagues with you? What frameworks are helpful? This is the topic of our next roundtable on Wednesday, the 3rd of April. Whether you have experience to share or are looking for examples to learn from, or both, you're invited. The roundtable, Getting Beyond Net Zero, is on Wednesday, the 3rd of April at 12:30 UK time. Register via the link in the show notes. We'd love to have you with us.
We're coming to the end of our time together, so we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to contribute to this last session. So we're going to ask you to keep your input really, really tight here. Take a moment to reflect on what you've heard today and what you've discussed today. And think, is there one thing that you could take from this that you'll apply to your own work? One little thing that you might do differently or that you just need to bear in mind and remember? We're going to invite you to complete the sentence. The one thing I will try doing is, we'll come to Malcolm and then Mina. So the one thing I'm going to try is, Malcolm.
The one thing I'm going to do is to focus on that bite-sized chunk concept and really working out what can be achieved.
Thank you, Malcolm. Mina will come to you and then Ellis.
I think the one thing that I'm going to continue to focus on is show greater support to supply chain and other companies that I work closely to kind of progress all together on that journey.
Wonderful. Thank you. Ellis, then Graham.
The one thing I'm going to take away is what Annie said with regards to cultivating a healthy mindset and frighten people to death.
Thank you, Ellis. Graham, and then Anna.
The one thing I'm going to take away is continue to speak to people with diverse backgrounds and get feedback and shape what I'm doing.
Thank you, Graham. Anna, then Annie.
The one thing that I'm taking away from today is to talk more confidently about the things that are already happening, but also looking to constantly improve things because there's things for all of us.
Thank you, Anna. Annie, then Gavin.
The one thing I'm going to take from today is just keeping things simple.
Thank you. Gavin, then Kemi.
One thing I'll take away from today is keeping it simple, but also having that positive mindset and approach.
Well, thank you, Kemi, and then Flo.
So one thing that I will try doing is starting locally and visibly, so be it work or sort of at home, whether it is doing something small but has like that visible impact.
And finally, Flo.
So for me, I think it's be aware of other people's context and try to make the solution or the process approachable for them.
Thank you, everyone. Osbert, back to you.
This is the end of our time together. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, your insights, and wish you all the best with taking your next step and look forward to hearing how you're getting on with that. If there's anything you'd like to pick up from this discussion, feel free to get in touch with me. It's been great having you with us, and I hope we'll see you again soon. Bye for now. Lots of great insights and ideas there based on the experience of our guests. If I had to pull out just three themes that I think are really important and applicable in most organisations, these are the three that I would choose. First, when you're talking about sustainability or any particular aspect of it, avoid jargon and technical language. Keep it simple and make it relevant to the people you're talking with. Two, although it's essential to get beyond net zero and address other issues, don't try to do everything. Focus in on the issues that are most material and where you can have real impact. And three, engaging people with sustainability is an ongoing process. So keep talking, keep people involved, and ultimately work towards shifting mindsets so sustainability becomes second nature. And there you have it. I hope you enjoyed our Leadership for Sustainability roundtable and that you'll join us for a future session. To make sure you get notified of upcoming events like this, sign up for the Leadership for Sustainability newsletter. As well as invites to events, you'll also get links to articles, videos, and other resources that we think are especially useful or interesting for sustainability leaders, along with insights from me and my colleagues that are exclusive to newsletter subscribers. You'll find the link in the show notes.